I think today was designed for RB.
Amen.
Yeah. We had a good old Baptist hymn. We had a Marine Corps. Yeah. And we had We Are So Blessed. Yeah. Brought you home, didn't it, brother? Yeah. You're welcome. Can the rest of us come now?
Okay.
This is our month of Thanksgiving. Every Sunday this month, we are going to be featuring a sermon on the overall theme of giving thanks. And every day of this month, I pray it will be a day of living the thanks of God. I need this in my life. And you do too. You need it. My inspiration for today's sermon is found in Psalm 107. And Psalm 107 begins with these words, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." You'll find that phrase over and over in the Psalms. And it had to have been a very well-known tune that everyone sang. And I'm sure they enjoyed singing it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I don't know that they actually did it, gave thanks, but they enjoyed singing about it. Yeah, of course they did. And we all know that we are supposed to give thanks to God for everything all the time. But we don't. I heard a story about a Presbyterian deacon who loved football. He did not want to ever miss a game. And one Saturday he arrived at the stadium a little late and he could not find a parking place. And he did not want to miss the kickoff. He was very concerned and he got more and more desperate and anxious. And so he turned his face toward heaven and he said, "Lord, if you will find me a parking place, I promise I will tithe for the rest of my life." And then he looked straight ahead and lo and behold, there in front of him was a parking place. And he lifted his face to heaven and he said, "Never mind, Lord, I found one." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Verse 2 of Psalm 107 says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. You are one of the redeemed of the Lord. He redeemed you from the pitiful pit of your shabby life and set your feet on higher ground, so that you are headed for your eternal gift in heaven." He did that through the sacrifice of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. God has given you a parking place in heaven. Thank him for that. But Psalm 107 then takes us through a particular time in the history for the Hebrews. Listen, beginning in verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west and from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." That passage is loaded with great memories for the Hebrews when they think back to Moses and the Exodus and the trials of their ancestors going through the wilderness, and when they think back to the story of the book of Ezra when they were released from captivity in Babylon and went back to Jerusalem. But I have this question. What memories does it stir up in you? You are the redeemed of the Lord. What memories does it stir up in you? Many of us have lived long lives. Many of us have many memories of things that have happened in those lives. And you have also wandered. And you have also been hungry and thirsty. And when you stop and think about it, God has taken care of those needs in your life over and over, and it should stir up memories of thanksgiving within you. God found lots and lots of parking places for you in your life just at the right time. God has delivered us from many distresses. And so many, in fact, that most of us cannot even remember them all. So, verse 8, let us give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds. I hate to ask you this, but have you ever rebelled against God? Of course you have. Were there times in your life when you actually turned your back on God? Perhaps that's true. Then fall on your knees and give thanks to God that He did not turn His back on you. My desert wasteland was about 6 years long. I helped pay for my college degrees and my graduate degrees by working as a minister of music in a number of churches. I hated it. Some of those churches were desert wastelands, and I seemed to have a knack for finding them. I came to the immature conclusion that all churches were like that, and all the people in all the churches were like that, and I turned my back on God. And I declared to Elizabeth, my wife, I am never going to work in a church again as long as I live. Notice God's sense of humor as I confess that. If I could see a video of the experiences that I'm describing right now, I might be appalled to discover how much of my attitude was created and nurtured those distresses. I might be shocked to discover how much my own ego was involved. I'm glad I don't have that video because it would be painful to watch, I'm sure. But oh, how grateful I am that God did not turn His back on me. And here I am now saying in a loud voice, give thanks to the Lord because He is good. Amen. I want you to take that journey too. I want you to take the time today to take that journey and search the memories of your mind and your heart and your whole life. Some of you have already started doing it. Don't do it right now. Put it on the shelf for later today when you're not distracted. And I want you to take a few moments later this afternoon or tonight and get alone. I'm giving you a homework assignment. Are you listening to me? I want you to have some quiet time with God today. And I want you to think through your life and pray through your life and realize the depth of gratitude that you should have towards God for getting you through a wasteland after wasteland after wasteland. Verse 5 of this psalm says, they were hungry and thirsty and their lives ebbed away. I'm sure you know that he's not talking about just physical hunger and thirst. Yes, God feeds the birds of the air, and God provides for you and me. But when your soul, when my soul, when the soul of any person is trying to live apart from God, our souls become so malnourished. that we hunger and we thirst for the living God even when we don't realize we're doing it. I hope it's not true, but some of you may be there right now. You may not be walking very closely with Jesus Christ right now. You may be trying to swim upstream and conquer the challenges and the disappointments of your life with your own skill and your own bank account. You may not even realize how hungry and thirsty your soul is for God. I so hope that when you spend some quiet time later today with the Lord and you search those memories, that you will also say, God, search my heart and know my thoughts and lead me in your way everlasting. Taste again and see again how good the Lord is. Taste and see how good the Lord is. In verse 6 of this psalm, we read that the Lord delivered them from their distress. Hallelujah! That our God is a great deliverer from distress. In Psalm 107, that is mentioned 4 times. In addition to verse 6, we read in verse 13 that when the people cried out to the Lord in their trouble, He saved them from their distress. We read it again in verse 19 and again in verse 28. All 4 of those instances, we read about the foolishness of men and women who tried to find their own parking places in life, but they ended up in distress. In verse 6, it says God delivered them from their distress. In verse 13, it says God saved them from their distress. In verse 19, it says again God saved them from their distress. And in verse 28, He brought them out of their distress. God wants to deliver you. He wants to save you. He wants to bring you out of whatever distress you're going through in your life. Do you want Him to do that? Do you need Him to do that? Of course you do. Well, what is your role in that process? Let's turn to the Word and see what it says in Psalm 107, verse 6. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Verse 13, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Verse 19, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Verse 28, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Here's the process. Recognize that you need the Lord and then cry out to Him. That implies recognition on your part that you cannot fix everything in life. You just can't do it. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could fix everything? But we can't. We need the power of Almighty God. In all 4 of those examples in this psalm, there's also another recurring theme. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. You know, I stopped for a moment and I wondered exactly what the psalmist meant when he said, let them give thanks. It almost sounds like they need permission to give the Lord thanks. And so I looked at other translations to see what I read and how some others rendered the Hebrew, and they rendered it this way, and this is more accurate. Oh, that men would give Him thanks. Oh, that men would give Him thanks. I think that is the heart of this message. Oh, mankind, wake up and smell the roses. God delivers. God saves. God provides. So thank Him. The humorist Zig Ziglar, do you know the name, you remember Zig Ziglar? The humorist Zig Ziglar said this, you will never see a happy, ungrateful person. Think about it. Let's put it this way. You will be the happiest in your life when you are grateful. Are you grumpy? Hello? Are you grumpy? Well, then you need to hear this again. You will be happiest in your life when you are grateful. But here is a tremendous challenge in this psalm, Psalm 107. The author pointed out all sorts of problems that the people had, how they cried out to the Lord for help, how the Lord answered their prayers, and how they were then called to give him thanks. But does it work the other way around? Should we ever give him thanks before he delivers us from whatever? Well, think about these words from Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What comes first? God's giving you the desires of your heart, or delighting in the Lord? The answer is obvious. It is so hard to give God thanks when you are in the middle of turmoil, when you cannot find a parking place. It is so hard to give him thanks. Our tendency is to first cry out for help, which we're invited to do. Thank you, Lord, we're invited to do that. Our tendency is not to cry out and say, thank you, Lord. But there's plenty of scriptural evidence that we need to approach him with thanksgiving and praise and adoration first. You know, when Jesus fed the thousands, he first gave thanks. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he first gave thanks. If Jesus needed to thank God first, how much more do we need to thank him first? I love this verse. It's from Isaiah 65:24. God said this, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. In many ways, it doesn't matter whether you thank God first or you thank him after he's acted, because God says, before you asked me, I will answer. And while you're still speaking, I will hear you. God is many, many steps ahead of you. He knows what's around the corner all the time. And that alone should inspire thanksgiving from our lips to our Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, we need to move the spotlight. The spotlight is on the fourth Thursday of November. We need to move the spotlight a little bit and put it on all 364 other days of the year and live a life of thanksgiving. I found an anonymous poem, and it helps me. I hope it helps you. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Have you ever heard of a little town called Lumberton, New Jersey? Lumberton, New Jersey is only about 130 miles from where we are right now. In its early days, it didn't have much going for it except a sawmill. And the sawmill enabled people, most of the people, to work and earn a living. It was, however, in 1856 that Johnson Oatman Jr. was born in Lumberton. Now, his dad was a merchant in the town, but his dad was best known for his powerful singing voice. And people loved to hear him sing in church. And little Johnson, as he grew up, wanted to be able to sing just like his dad. But he was just okay at singing. The musical bug bit him, however, and he was determined to use that in his life somehow. Well, he worked in retail, and then he sold insurance, and he wasn't very fulfilled. He felt something was missing, and he began to feel an inner tug from the Lord, a calling to go into the ministry. And so he went to seminary. He became an ordained minister in the Methodist Episcopal Church. And when he was 36 years old, he discovered that he did have a talent that God could use rather than singing. He could write the lyrics that other people could sing. And that was a great way for him to share his love for Christ and what Christ had done for him. And poems just started flowing out of him at the rate of 200 a year. Eventually, he wrote over 5,000 poems that were set to music by other people for other people to sing, and they became great hymns of our faith. Two of his favorites were No Not One and Higher Ground. However, the people chose their favorite. And the people chose one that we're about to sing. In 1897, from his pen came these words: "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." As the author of 107 said in the last verse of this psalm, "Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, saying thanks is just really not enough. We need to show the world how thankful we are for you. We need to use our bodies, our minds, our deeds, and our words to give you thanks and to bring others to your feet. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.